Greetings and welcome on board WDKOK Sunrise. I'm Mark Lawrence. We have on the news line with us now Tara Dively. We met her about 2 years ago as we started to talk to counselors and therapists about the impact of the pandemic, how people could cope with that, its impact, what it might be on relationships, or I even think we talked a little bit about sleep. But she is back on the line. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, started a new business in Selins Grove, and is on the news line with us now. Tara, thank you so much for calling in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, very much appreciated. First, just one question about you. Tell us about the new business. Congratulations on this startup.
Thanks so much. So we've been open here in Selins Grove since January. So it's a new business in Selins Grove. We're right downtown behind the Selins Grove Inn. And the name of the practice is Connections Relational Therapy. We specialize in couples, individual, and family therapy. There is a team of three therapists, including myself, another licensed marriage and family therapist, and a licensed social worker on staff.
And when we last spoke with you, you and your fellow counselors at Courtyard Counseling were very busy. Is Connections Relational Therapy as busy? The pandemic kind of ramped up everything for your practice.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have been seeing increased referrals for therapy over the last couple of years, and it hasn't really slowed down at all.
All right, well, let's start to dig into that. COVID fatigue, it even got a name about halfway through the pandemic. Have we gotten away from a little of the exhaustion, or tell us what folks are telling you about?
Yeah, you know, I think in some ways, maybe we've gotten away from some of the COVID fatigue, but it's never really gone away. Collectively, I think we all just at this point want to go back to how things were in February of 2020. As a society, it sounds like maybe from what I've talked to with people in our community, maybe we're learning how to live with COVID. But I think now the issue is we aren't dealing with it collectively as a society. We see it more now as an inconvenience rather than something we need to face together as a society.
And layer on top of the COVID, which was a source of a lot of worry and anxiety, now we have a war in the Ukraine. Tell us, is that adding on to that?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, at this point, we have burnout on top of burnout on top of burnout. And it's not just pandemic-related, like you just said. It's a lot of news that's thrown at us 24/7. And it's exhausting. And it's this uncertainty. One of the things that I tell people in practice is turn off the news, put down your phone, go for a walk. We need people to find ways and places to get their hope from.
Well, the pandemic is winding down, so that's a source of some hope, and spring is right around the corner, so there's some hope. Well, yeah, you mentioned the exhaustion factor sets in. We talked to one local business person who they weren't going to stay in business much longer, and they said, well, we're slowly getting supplies back, but inflation, we could, if we charge more, we can cope with that, but this is constantly pushing uphill all the time. That is exhausting, and that's why they might curtail their business. And just some simple advice, we're going to get more into that later. You mentioned take a walk. What else might be something we'll put on the short list right here where folks can do to maybe unwind a little bit?
I always say put down your phone, social media, take a break. It's not healthy. Connect with people, talk with a friend.
Stop.
You know, unplug and connect to other people.
Stop watching the war comes to mind. And that's my temptation, is to sit and watch the coverage all the time. So at some point, I just have to step away from it. Well, the phrase I used 2 years ago is that we're pretty wound up this time because of the pandemic. And of course, as you mentioned, nothing has eased. What's the long-term impact of this constantly being wound up year after year?
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of become a society that just doesn't really get a break. You know, I'm not sure, I mean, at least in my lifetime, that we've really seen this inability to get a break. And like I said before, right now it's a lot of news that's just thrown at you constantly. You know, every every ding on your phone, every post, everything on your newsfeed, it's creating a society that is quite wound up all the time. It creates uncertainty in the way we kind of think, you know, this, oh my gosh, what comes next kind of mentality. I had a client at one point recently describe it as always feeling like there's impending doom. And yeah. I think that's really been kind of what people have been struggling with.
Okay, the impact on marriages of this trauma that we've been living through and all the things that are happening now. Is it possible to generalize on what the impact of marriages has been?
You know, I think it's hard to say. Sometimes I think based on what I've seen in clinical practice, that the pandemic has really brought to light issues that may have already been there. However, that idea of anxiety and stress upon stress upon stress certainly has exacerbated conflict in relationships.
Well, in any normal time, the political divide in the U.S. would be a big issue in our lives, but it just seems as though the pandemic and the war probably overshadows that. What's your view on this political divide? Is that contributing to some of the anxiety today?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely still here, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere for now.
What has changed over the years? Did we used to be better at handling trauma or this idea of, you know, big issues that would pop up in front of us? Were we better at it before?
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, that's a tough thing to answer because we haven't really dealt with this level of trauma, of having these things thrown at us constantly. I think the role of the marriage and family therapist is about facilitating respectful dialogue. And our differences seem so contrasted now, you know, and thanks to social media, that we don't have respectful dialogue. And maybe it's that we lost the art of finding middle ground.
Well, speaking of middle ground, what happened to us just accepting our differences or ignoring them? You know, I could go into a room with somebody that was politically, you know, opposite of me and accept their presence, or maybe somebody who was gay or transgender. But now we kind of draw the line. We won't have anything to do with them. We might not talk to them. Has that changed? Maybe we were better at ignoring things in the past.
Yeah, and I think so. And also, you know, just going back to that idea of social media, we're becoming a society that's formulating our opinions based on a post or a meme. And we're lacking that ability to just having respectful dialogue and listening.
And what about the level of vitriol that we may have right now? Is that greater?
Well, I think it goes back to burnout. People are frustrated. They feel marginalized. People don't feel respected. They don't feel valued. I think people don't often feel heard by who they consider to be the other side. You know, everyone wants to feel like what they're going through matters. And in a politically divided conflict, the other side becomes the enemy who doesn't listen and sure doesn't care.
Is there a thing called anxiety accumulation? I may have made that phrase up, but does it build up?
Yeah, I think that phrase makes a lot of sense. I like to think about it in the terms that the renowned marriage and family therapist Esther Perel calls prolonged uncertainty. She came up with this term in 2020, and 2 years later, we're still experiencing this sense that not only do we feel uncertain, but we don't know when the feeling of uncertainty will end.
And when you and I last spoke, and it was almost 2 years ago, we talked about sleep interruption, how it was cutting into our sleep or making our sleep more fitful. What has happened since then? What do we know more today?
Well, we know that anxiety has a direct effect on sleep. You know, when you can't shut off your racing thoughts, when you can't put down the phone, when the last thing that you're watching is, you know, a video of a hospital being bombed in Ukraine, those are things that exacerbate our anxiety, and sleep disturbances are very common as a result.
I think that hospital bombing is going to be a pivotal moment in the coverage and the thoughts about the war. It's difficult for anybody not to be moved by that. We were talking about sleep. What about nightmares? Are they still strange and folks are still reporting that that's an issue?
Personally, I haven't heard in my practice that people have had nightmares, but sleep disturbances for sure.
All right, well, let's get on to solutions. What can we do? How can we adapt and cope? And if it's feasible to excel with all this going on around us, give us some of your good sound advice.
Well, my biggest piece of advice, I think, is start early. Help your children learn how to communicate and have healthy debates. Try to keep directly politicized conversations to a minimum, and don't try to convert your family members to your side of the aisle. It's important to look for common ground, strive to encourage an open-minded and compromising spirit. In families, I encourage people to treat politics like you would treat any other tension in a family. Think of deeper and more lasting similarities and alliances versus the differences that we have.
Now, what about listening? Is that something we can somehow learn to be better listeners throughout all this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when we listen to people who may have a differing opinion than ours, and we hear them out, and we get a perspective of where they're coming from, it helps to diffuse tension and allows for a civil and thoughtful conversation to take place.
Now, if somebody says they're on the opposite side of a political issue and they're really mad and it's bitterly divided, well, what do you say to those folks?
Take a break.
Yeah, I used to go to a Saturday gathering where folks from both sides of the political aisles would get together and listen and talk and buy each other breakfast and really just try to get along. And you get a lot of different perspectives. And you get to figure out why maybe folks feel the way that they do. One of the things that you told us, we had a brief previous conversation, you said, we need each other. Elaborate on that.
When we have this degree of uncertainty and we are politically divided, it's an isolating feeling. I know personally, you know, we all know situations over the past 2+ years where there's been severed relationships over, you know, politics and differing opinions on what goes on in the world. And it's just led to feelings of sadness and isolation and hurt, sometimes despair. I can't believe this person isn't talking to me anymore. What went wrong? In a situation of uncertainty, you need each other. We need a society.
Anything else you want to tell us? Maybe I didn't ask a question that prompted that answer.
So how do we adapt with, you know, an uncertain environment? And I think this kind of goes back to Esther Perel's idea of prolonged uncertainty. She identified a few ways that are healthy coping strategies. And these are ways that in clinical practice we talk about a lot. Identifying and talking about your feelings about what's going on. This is where we need each other. You know, we need to be able to talk to each other about how the events of the world are making us feel. Paying attention to what you're paying attention to. It goes back to the idea of turning off the news, putting down the phone, you know, doing something to care for yourself. Also, and you had asked about this, Mark, you know, about, have we seen this level of stress and anxiety and uncertainty? I think it's about connecting with the past, too, and looking about how have people before our generation dealt with adversity. You know, and when I thought about this, I was thinking about, you know, me being in my mid-40s now, how much I miss my grandparents and hearing about their struggles and how they overcame adversity through the Great Depression and World War II. They had resilience, and so do we. We just have to dig deep to find it. And I think another way that you can adapt and cope with the trying times that we're going through is take action. Seek out opportunities to help in our community. Raise awareness for causes that give you a sense of purpose. So those are just some of the ideas that we talk about.
talking to Tara Dively. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist with Connections Relational Therapy in Sealands Grove. Thank you so much for your time and your answers today. Very much appreciated.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Mark.